John chapter number 6. I'm going to just to the beginning section of this chapter starts out with the loaves and the fishes and the feeding of the 5,000. And you're so familiar with that. But Jesus takes that miracle and turns it into a message. And it comes down to verse, we'll just start reading in verse number 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Notice the terms through here of the times that Jesus was talking about eating, bread, hunger, things like that through these verses. So in verse number 31, he says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Talking about the manna. Then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you that bread. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And for the bread of God is he. So he's making it right here. He's turning it into just a past event. He's telling right here that the bread of God is he, H-E, that which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And we could use this verse to go along with this morning. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last days. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days. All right, let's skip. Well, verse 41, we'll read this verse and then skip down a bit. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. And skip on down if you would in verse number 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You may be seated. So we're looking at tonight the example of the simplicity of salvation in the fact that it's as eating bread to satisfy hunger. It's that simple. And I guess you noticed, and I'm sure you did, down through these verses, the emphasis of the words hunger and eat and bread and so forth. And we know that the bread of life is Jesus, according to this statement. But I believe what he's doing in this text, he comes right out of the miracle of the feeding of the five loaves and two fishes, and he feeds the 5,000, has fragments left over enough to fill 12 baskets full, and those people were satisfied. Look back, if you will, in chapter number 6. The question was asked, verse 5 and 6, by Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I believe that indicates right there that this multitude that was following the Lord, and we know why they were following, according to verse number 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. They were following him because they had saw his miracles. And a lot of people, that's the only reason they do follow him. They want a miracle instead of a master. Or they want a meal instead of a master. And so we find in verse number 5, the fact that Philip asked the question, you know, where are we going to buy bread enough to feed this crowd? And I believe that was an indication that they were hungry, that there was a need there, there was a lack there. And then, of course, Philip said 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. I said, you know, we don't have the means of providing this bread that's needed. We don't have the money. We don't have the means. And then, of course, verse 9, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? The need was so great. The people were so hungry. But the Lord was really using that bread to exemplify himself. You've got 5,000 people, not counting the women, children. 5,000 men, not counting. There could have been anywhere from 15 to 20 plus thousand people there that day, counting the women and children, everybody. So there was a great host there. And here's a lad, and he's got a lunch, and it's not even enough for him, probably. He probably could eat all of that in one setting. And that was probably just enough to get him by till supper time. Or if you're real dignified, till dinner at the evening meal. But anyway, Jesus takes that and uses that to present to the people that he's the bread of life. And I just wanted to share a few things with you. The first thing that I noticed about that was, number one, that there is the preparation of the bread. Bread don't grow on bread trees. It has to be prepared. It's got to go through a preparation. And if you use the loaves in that little kid's lunch, that lad's lunch, somebody had to put those ingredients together. And I'm not a cook. All I do is make the bread disappear. But I don't know how to cook bread. But whatever ingredients is in bread, I know you don't just turn the faucet on and bread comes out, or the recipe for bread. There's ingredients to it. Somebody had to be involved in the preparation of that bread. And I wrote down that in that preparation, there was man's side. Somebody had to go to the market, if that was doable then. Somebody had to go to the market and get the ingredients. Somebody had to know how to put it all together, what was needed. Somebody had to go through all of not just the forming of it, but somebody had to go through the baking of it, putting it all together to bring it to the place to where it could be ate. That's the human side, okay? And if you make the application there, listen, Jesus had to go through the human side of preparation. He had to be the Son of Man just as much as he was the Son of God. If he was only the Son of God, he still couldn't save us because he had to be a kinsman. He had to be a kinsman, and he had to become one of us. He had to come here. And not just come here, he had to go through the process of becoming God incarnate, robed in flesh. And he did that going through the womb of a virgin named Mary. But not only is there the man side of those loaves, the bread, but also there's a divine side, or the God side. If you took that bread in the early part of chapter 6, if you took those loaves just from the man's side, they wouldn't have fed the boy, much less 5,000. But there was the man's side of the provision, or preparation rather, of those loaves. But then God added the supernatural to it. Jesus Christ took the loaves, broke it, type of Calvary, broke it. Christ was broken for us. He was baked in the oven of the wrath of God, the judgment of God, for our sin. And so you have what somebody made on the man's side of it, probably the lad's mother, probably. Amen. But then you have Jesus adding the God side to it. And I thought, that's just like the Lord. He's the bread of life. He's the bread of God. He's the bread that came down from heaven. There's a man side of that. He had to become man. Amen, that's right. And then there's the divine side of that. He was God manifest in the flesh. Amen, that's right. Just as a man, he couldn't do nothing no more than a man. But he was God also, and that enabled him to be able to meet our needs. So I thought about the preparation of the bread. Spoke to my heart. And these young people need to understand that getting saved is a... Let me ask this question. Are you hungry? I'm not talking about physically. Are you hungry? If you are, there's bread for you. That's salvation right there. Are you hungry? Then eat. The bread's available. The preparation's already been made on the human side as well as the divine side. Everything's taken care of. It's already went through the baking process. It's already went through the fire. It's already went through all of that. And now the process is made. It's ready to eat. Salvation is available for you. Salvation is ready for you. Isn't that right? Oh, yes, it is. And if you miss heaven, it'll be because you either wasn't hungry or you refused to eat. One of the two. And so, number two, not only do we see the preparations of the bread. And by the way, if you'd have looked at that lunch, and if I'd have looked at that lunch and then looked at the multitude, I would have looked down on the lunch, wouldn't you? I would have thought, man, that ain't nothing. I mean, how in the world is that going to meet the need? And you know good and well that was the attitude as people looked on Jesus. The bread of life, the bread of God, the bread of heaven. People look down on him like, why, there's no way you could save this world. You're not the Savior. You're not the King. And they look down upon him like no doubt many people look down upon that lunch. But anyway, number two, there was on the preparation of the bread, there had to be all that was involved, you know, in the planning and the preparation and the cooking and the baking and bringing it to the place where it could be eaten. But then there's the provision of the bread. The provision of the bread, as illustrated with the loaves. The provision of the bread. There was a time when there was a multitude here that had nothing to eat. There was no bread available. There was no bread available. And then out of the most unlikely place, source, and person, there was a lad with a lunch. Well, it's just like the Lord. On planet Earth, there was nothing. There was no Savior. There was no salvation. There was nothing. No bread to satisfy hunger until Jesus came as the bread. I like that. That helped me right there. But there's the provision of this bread. Bread when there was no bread, when there was none available, when there was nothing, none to buy, when there was no bread available, God became the bread of life for us through Jesus Christ. And then there's the presentation of the bread. The presentation of the bread, it had to be served. Amen? It had to be served. It went from the lad's hands into the Lord's hands. In the lad's hands, it wasn't enough. In the Lord's hands, it was more than enough. Who's got your basket? Who's got your bread? Who, you know, practically speaking. But Jesus is the bread of heaven, the bread of God, the bread of life, and there was the presentation of that bread. That's what we're doing when we're preaching. We're presenting the bread. Sunday school lessons, classes, They're presenting the bread. Amen. When people witnesses to you and talks to you about the Lord, they're presenting to you the bread. They're offering you the bread. They can't satisfy your hunger, but they can give you and point you to the bread that can. That's right. So there has to be the presentation of the bread. And then here's all those things are important. There's got to be the partaking of the bread. It can be baked and cooked and ready. Jesus can be available. He can already had already died, paid the sin debt, be ready to save your soul. He can be all of that. But if you don't ever partake of the bread, it won't help you. Bread left in the bag, or in case of Jesus, bread left in the Bible, won't help you. You've got to partake of it. You've got to get it in you. And when you partake of the bread, even in the physical realm, when you take and you eat bread, it becomes you. It is digested in your system, and it literally loses that separation of you and bread. Now it's just you. The bread becomes you. It absorbs into you. And boy, we need that. I thought about that again today, how that we need that. We need to appropriate Jesus Christ as the bread of life, bread of God, bread of heaven, that living bread that gives life. Listen, we need to get that in you. Bread won't help you on the plate or in the kitchen or in the oven. It's got to get in you. And you do that by you receiving it. Are you hungry? Then eat. The bread's available. The bread's already been provided. Everything's taken care of. You say, Bruce, you're trying to make it sound so simple. Exactly. Your only qualification is, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Is there a sense lack inside of you that you're hungry and this world is not satisfying you? If that's the case, then eat. Then come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for peace. I'm hungry for forgiveness. Amen. And the Lord say, eat. Eat. The bread's available for you. Amen. That's right. And that bread becomes you. That's right. And we need that. So there's the partaking of that bread. Appropriating that bread in you. Amen. Eating it. Taking it in. Can't satisfy the hunger till you take it in. You can hold a loaf of bread and feel around on it and look at it and take a magnifying glass and look around on it. It won't help you. The only way you can get help from it is eat it. You got to get Christ in you. How much more simple can that be? You've got to have Christ in you. You've got to appropriate it. You've got to take that in before that it can do you any good. Jesus Christ is called. Let me just hold that place right there. This scripture just came to my mind. I want to look at it right quickly. Romans chapter number, Romans 10. Let's look at right here. We quote verse 9, 10, and 13 all the time, don't we? That if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now who's he talking to? What is the condition of these verses? It's found in verse 8. Look at verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Get that term, get that statement right there. The word is nigh thee, it's near you. You're near it, it's near you. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And verse number 8 doesn't end with a period, and it goes right out of that verse, speaking about the word of God already in your mouth and in your heart and working in you. Amen. And as a result of that, those that the Word of God is working in you and is in your mouth and is in your heart, God said, that person, if you'll call upon the Lord, you can be saved. We're not talking about a mechanic. If you don't read verse number 8 with 9 through 13, it'll almost sound like a mechanical something that you do. Just, okay, well, I'm just going to go to the Lord and call on the Lord. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, I'm going to call on the Lord. Well, if you put verse 8 with it, and God does, verse 8 is the condition. If the Word of God is nigh thee, it's got your attention, the Word of God is in, it's in your mouth. That is, you're starting to bite on it. You're starting to appropriate it. You're starting to take it in. It's in your mouth and it's starting to affect your heart. It's in your heart. God says that person, if they will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. God wants it simple, don't he? That's right. And so he does that. And then there's the emphasis, you know, the heart and mouth in verse 8, the heart and mouth again in verse number 9. You know, with the mouth, you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Again in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's the mouth and heart, mouth and heart, mouth and heart. Say, preacher, when can I get saved? When you're starting to take it in. God has exposed you to the Word. God has exposed you to the bread. God has exposed you to what you need to satisfy the hunger of your soul, meet the need of your life, meet the need of your heart, give you that which you cannot find in this world. Amen. And you're starting to, you're interested, it's got your attention, you're starting to feed on it, you're starting to taste a little bit of it, and you recognize, oh, I believe that's what I need. I believe that's the bread that I need. I hear other people talking about it, and you're starting to taste of it yourself. That's what I need. That person right there, according to this Bible, can ask the Lord to save them, and he will do it. Are you hungry? Then eat. The bread's provided. The bread has been prepared. The bread has been presented. It's recorded right here in the Bible. We have the bread presented to you right here. The Word, amen, is God. Was it John 1:1 says? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So Jesus Christ being the Word, and now in John 6, he's the bread. So there's a connection there. So Jesus talks about the bread right here in this book. Oh my, so it's presented, it's provided, it's prepared. It's already went through all of the process that the bread has to go through. Do you understand that God has to do nothing else to save you? Everything, Brother Brad, involved in the process of Jesus Christ being the bread of God, bread of life, bread from heaven, the living bread, all of that has already been done. So what's lacking? Man, I'm hungry. I hear people talking about how good it is to feed on the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear them testimonies. That's why, listen, how many of us physically, how many of us have been, wasn't really hungry, but we heard somebody else talking about a meal? Somebody else gets to describing the details of how juicy and the flavors and all of that. And before you know it, your mouth's watering. Before you know it, you're ready to eat. Amen. I think it would do us well if we start bragging on the bread and start magnifying how wonderful it is. Amen. And how great it is and how good Jesus is to stir a hunger and stir a desire in the children around here to want to be saved. They're not going to want to be saved when they hear complaining and murmuring and backbiting and fussing and division and things of that nature. They're going to want to eat when they hear about how good the bread is. Amen. We ought to brag on it. Amen, that's right. In John chapter number 6, he starts out in the verse we started reading this in our text. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna. Was manna any good? Was manna any count? Best thing they ever put in their mouth. We're to brag about it. We're to brag on the bread. We're to boast about the bread. We're to tell people how good bread is. It might stir a hunger in them. If you're hungry, you can eat. Are you hungry? Last time I checked, when I'm hungry, I don't have to ask nobody, am I hungry? Because nobody knows that. Just a lot of the same things I said about the thirst this morning, the water. Thirst is personal. Amen? Thirst is personal. Thirst is perceived. When I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty, and I know I'm thirsty. I perceive that. I'm aware of it. It's got my attention. Same thing with the bread. If I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. Now get how foolish this is. Man, I'm telling you what, I am thirsty. I am so thirsty and I am so hungry. And knowing there's bread and water provided, well, why are you not eating? Why are you not eating or drinking? Well, I'm waiting on this big feeling to come over me. Or I'm waiting on some lightning to flash or some big goosebumps to run up my spine. You know, I'm waiting on. No. God said if you're thirsty, listen, what did he say this morning there in John 7? If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. If there's drink right there, I'm thirsty. You know what God said do? Drink. If I'm hungry, eat. The key, though, is are you thirsty and are you hungry? If you're hungry and you're wanting to be saved, you're wanting to have the bread of life, the bread of God, the bread from heaven that gives eternal life, who is Jesus Christ. If you're hungry, then eat. Well, I'm waiting on what? Is it scriptural what you're waiting on? Because you may be waiting on something that's not biblical. You may have heard something or thought something and you're waiting on some kind of whatever to happen that's not even in the Bible. But I tell you what is in the Bible. If you are thirsty, drink. If you are hungry, eat. Jesus Christ is the water of life and he is the bread from heaven. Amen. So anyway, there you go. There's the partaking of the bread, and then, of course, there's the promise of the bread. Look at it right here, and I'm done. Where's it at right here? Verse number 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me. Let's read in what some people puts there. He that have all of these experiences and he that has waited on these feelings and waiting on these big flashes of lightning and, Lord, if you want me to get saved, let four camels come through the back door of the church. You say, preacher, that's foolishness. A lot of people's waiting on things that are not scriptural. If you are hungry, that is from God. The flesh will never hunger for the bread of God, the bread of life, the bread of heaven. Your flesh will never want it that. So if you're thirsty and you're hungry, God has done that. How much? I don't know other way of saying it. God has prepared you. God is working in your heart. If you're thinking about getting saved, God did that. If you have a desire in you, and when you're thinking about hunger, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about your desire. Amen. What does it mean? Romans 10. What does it mean to believe in your heart? Could you explain that to a child? Have you ever tried it? For all you know, they little children think heart, okay, that's that little kabunka bunka bunka muscle in my chest. What does it mean to believe in your heart? How do you explain that? Here's what I told someone not long ago on the altar. I said, here's what it means to believe in your heart. Lord was just giving me something to say right then. I said, here's what it means to believe in your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That calling is not just words that comes out of your mouth, but it's what comes from your heart. And I didn't know how else to define it other than just simply say, pray your desires to God. Express your heart's desires to the Lord. Do you think you'll turn a person away that'll do that? Do you think a person of any age, if they say, Lord, I want to get saved. It's in my heart to get saved. I'm so hungry for you. I want to get saved. I want my condemnation removed. I want the guilt gone. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. And you're praying your heart. You're praying your heart. You're believing in your heart. Lord, I believe in my heart, in my desires, that if I ask you to save me, that you would do it. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if he'll take me. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. We're talking about the promise. We're talking about the promise. We're right here. Look at it. I read verse 35. I believe that's where I was at. Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You say, well, will he take me, preacher? How many young people think, Lord, I'd come, but I don't know if he'd take me. Well, here's what he said. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, preach, what does that mean? Explain that. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Jesus said, if you come, I will not turn you away. Jesus has never said no to anybody that's wanting, hungering, thirsting to be saved. I mean, think how foolish that even sounds. Jesus is the water of life, but yet here comes a sinner and he's thirsty. Oh, no, I can't help you, or I'm not going to help you. Jesus Christ is the bread of heaven, bread of life, bread of God, meant to meet the need of the hunger. Here comes a sinner that's hungry, wanting to be saved. And God turn him away? No. Quenching your thirst, satisfying your hunger spiritually was Jesus' purpose of coming here. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to throw you away, cast you away. He's going to save your souls, what he's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, then why do you not have the authority to tell somebody they got saved? Because I don't know if they were hungry or not. Based on what that book says, if they did what that book says, and I can present them, and you can present to them what the book said, the Word of God says, if that's the truth and that was it, I'd say, yeah, you got saved tonight. But I don't know if they was thirsty. I don't know if they were hungry. If I had a way of knowing that, then I could tell them affirmatively, yes, you got in tonight. So I'm putting it there and leaving it with you. If you're thirsty, come to him and drink. If you're hungry, come to him and receive him, the bread of life. And you'll never hunger And the promise also says, later on, I didn't close my Bible, but there was another promise in that chapter that says right here in verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath," H-A-T-H, possession right now, "hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life." I am the bread of life. He compared to the manna, that the physical bread of the manna. He said in verse 50, they ate that bread that came down from heaven and died. But verse 51 is the promise. He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So if you're hungry, it's time to eat. Let's all stand. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for stirring our heart about the simplicity, Lord, of salvation, simplicity that's in Christ. And Lord, we ask that you'd take the messages and speak to hearts with it.